coming in on 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to another episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews.
Yeah!
I like being chock full of shit.
That's about it!
Was that recorded?
It's not an episode if you didn't make something up.
And the average for the beer that everybody loves is really high.
I like getting shit on.
Take them off, I suppose. The microphone part.
Right, but...
Much as part of, like, operating a game show, right? You never know what your contestants are going to do?
Right. It's just an exciting experience.
Who's going to fall into the equipment tonight?
It's danger karaoke.
You never know what's going to happen.
Danger is my middle name.
All right, speaking of danger karaoke, welcome back to another episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews, a childish podcast about adult beverages. My name is Knox, and with me today is Big Earn.
Hola.
And Chris.
Present.
How you doing, guys?
You're present to me every day.
I know. I'm like a godsend.
Oh, Jesus. Here we go.
I'm a little hungover today.
Hungover?
Yeah, from yesterday and the day before.
I'm a little hungover, too. Mostly my belly.
Yeah.
Over my waist.
Right over the... Yeah.
Beautiful.
Got the Dunlop disease. My belly Dunlopped over my belt.
You're fucking awesome. You get one of these already today. Oh, wait. There it is.
Ah, thank you.
Had to wait for it.
It seems like I don't hear that very much for me.
Well...
Be funnier, I guess. What the fuck?
I think I'm hilarious.
I just want some sad dings.
Moldova thinks I'm funny as hell, too.
Some sad dings.
Yeah,
okay. Anyway, so we welcome back with us today the manager for Bridgeview Liquors, who just happened to sponsor the podcast, Evan Christie. How you doing, Evan?
Hey, glad to be back.
How you doing today?
How am I doing today? You know, I'm all right.
Sounds good.
Nobody worry about him.
Some existential crisis going on.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Very we should just do all sounders the rest of the day.
Is that the third one already? And
this is the very relaxed Lebowski
32
attitude
seconds
to have.
Into the episode.
And also with us, our last guest for today.
And least.
Oh, I thought you were going to say my name. Okay, I was waiting for that. But anyway, yes, that's
say
right.
Say his name, bitch.
That's right. I am everybody's favorite 1970s game show host, Dick Wrinkle. You may remember me from such game shows as Swingers Club or the everybody's favorite Guess What's Inside You. I want you to let you know, by the way, my co-host, Anita Fiston, she sends her regards. She couldn't make it tonight. She's actually having a tattoo of me removed. So otherwise, she would have been here too.
Is she an ex now? Is that why it's getting removed? Or?
No, she just...
they all are eventually.
they are. She fell in love with the other co-host, Anna Lentry.
Mm.
So I'm out.
Well, that sucks. I mean, good for her, I guess. Sucks
you know,
for you.
You know, they're happy. They're happy. And like, they still work for me, so it's
a
good.
Story as old as time, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. So. Meaning that took forever.
Oh, Jesus. It's two already today, buddy. All right. Well, today's topic is a very interesting one.
We'll find out.
Well, yeah, and today's episode is all about mezcal, and I didn't know enough about it, and I did not have enough time to do a lot of research on this one stuff on mezcals in particular this week, so I'm going to rely heavily on the man to my left, Mr. Evan Christie, for his knowledge about mezcals. So, what can you tell us about mezcals, Evan?
Well, essentially, mezcal is a blanket term for any spirit made from an agave species. So, the mezcal we're all most familiar with is tequila. Tequila is like a more specific version of a mezcal. Tequilas are made with only Blue Weber agave, mostly in Jalisco and a few other states. Mezcal can be made from any agave, but mostly is centered in the state of Oaxaca. That's where 90% of the mezcals you see in the U.S. come from.
Oaxaca? What?
O-A-X-A-C-A.
It's spelled Oaxaca.
Ah, oh.
Yeah,
it's actually on that bottle right in front of you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, there you go.
This just sounded funny.
Oaxaca. Like Fozzie Bear? Waka, 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 waka.
Waka, waka. Marco. Say that three times fast.
I just did.
It did. Like, that's kind of the whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
We're all paying attention to me. That's good.
So what else can you tell us about them? I mean, there is a couple things, right? Like, yeah, there's different villages and all that other jazz.
Yeah, so mezcal is a really terroir-driven spirit. I don't know how much you guys have covered terroir, talking about wine and whiskey, but terroir is that sense of place that certain beverages have based on...
I believe terroir's on your bingo cards at home, people.
Yeah, there so is.
Mark it off.
Terroir. Buzzword bingo. PBR bingo. Is that the... mezcal is a spirit that's driven by this as well. Each village has their own traditional methods. They have their own unique growing conditions and often their own species of agave that are more prevalent there. So there's lots of different species of agave, and there's production methods. Mezcal tends to be produced in kind of more old-fashioned traditional methods. So not always even copper stilled. We were kind of looking at some stuff beforehand. They have clay pot stills and all sorts of weird combos. And the other thing is, so if you picture an agave plant, people think it's like a cactus, but it's actually more like a big aloe or an asparagus, right?
Or kind of like a artichoke?
Yeah, artichoke. Artichoke's even better. Yeah, picture an artichoke, and that heart of the artichoke is the part that you're actually going to turn into alcohol. So when they harvest it, they need to hack away at the outside, get to the center, chop that up, and then in order to turn that into booze, you have to roast it. So you have to take the sugars that are all bound up in there and caramelize them and release them so that the yeast can work on them. And
I got to interrupt you for a second. If you guys ever seen pictures of this tool that these farmers use, I don't know why there isn't a fucking horror movie made with a guy who, it's like a big long fucking staff with a half moon on the end of it, and it's sharp as fuck.
It's like a pizza, what they take the pizza out of the oven with, but it's rounded on the end and probably sharp as hell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hi. Hey, there's D.
Hi, D.
Donating some agave mezcal con gusano.
Well, Monte Alban. For ruining our day even more.
It's Monte Alban.
Ricardo Monte Alban.
Monte Alban.
Two dick chicks just showed up. Two dick chicks just showed up. We've got Jenny Talia and Shelby coming.
We're on our way out. Shelby coming. Have fun with this.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks.
Thanks, honey. Love you.
We'll get out of here.
Bye, Shannon. All right, well, we got a present. We were just talking about this.
Oh, boy.
We'll get to that here in a second.
Oh, and there's even something in that bottle, which I had noticed is not in any of the bottles we have.
The worm.
That's alive! I was going to ask about the worm because I'm a straight-up vegetarian.
Okay, now stemming back from that weapon, and to continue on where you were going, right, Evan, with the different species and all the other jazz and how they were making it with that.
Yeah, they have to cook it. Mm-hmm. And because mezcal is usually cooked over an open fire rather than roasted in like an oven, it picks up smoke from that fire. So a lot like a smoky scotch, it's got characteristics of whatever material you're burning. And that's specific to each village, like what kind of wood, often kind of like mesquite-y, brushy stuff is used. So that flavors and affects it. So...
It's Mexico, so...
Well, we have one today that's made with turkey breast, isn't it?
Yeah, right? The pechuga is, yeah.
What?
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit.
Wait, you're
this is not a joke.
We have booze made from turkey breast?
Made using turkey breast.
Made used turkey breast. This sounds like a lot of work. I think you just buy it. You can just buy it. It's already bottled.
We're not going to fucking do the process
today. No, we don't have
today.
To do that.
We're not like making it out of turkey breast.
I was told this would be an easy thing to do here.
It is. You just sit there and...
you make it hard, though.
And just chat every once in a while.
I make everyone hard.
Damn it.
Jesus. That's what my mom was saying.
You know what?
Sorry, Mom, I'm just kidding. She actually listened once in a while.
I'm pretty sure.
I take that back. It was just a general mom joke, not you specifically, Mother.
All right, we'll do one of these. But getting back to them, so the individual villages, there's three kinds of mezcals, right? There's regular mezcal, there's mezcal artisanal, and mezcal ancestral. And I think the
if mezcal, I can interject, I'm pretty sure that word, I'm looking at it, it says Artie's anal.
I don't think Artie's very comfortable.
That'd be
that's not Artie's anal. That's Artie's anal.
All right, that makes sense.
I'm not excited about that one.
So the regular mezcal is more like the higher, more produced, mass produced ones, and then the ancestral is made with more like your traditional stuff. And you were saying something about like clay pots.
Yeah, for the ancestral, fueled by fire.
Yep,
it has to be clay pot still, which is a really old fashioned way of doing it. I think almost everything we'll have today, other than this gifted bottle, will be the artisanal version. This is a fairly new classification. They didn't even have it like 2 years ago. They've been trying to sort out the high quality from the low quality, kind of like tequila did in like the 90s.
They did.
Crazy.
I was drinking Mad Dog 2020 in the 90s.
It shows.
I'm surprised you remember any of it.
So there are a few, 9 different states that allow mezcal production. There's the Oaxaca, Durango, Puebla, Guerrero, how do you say that again?
Michoacán.
And?
Zacatecas, San Luis Potosí, Tamaulipas, and Guanajuato.
I would never be able to say those words.
No, but give it a shot.
Not correctly.
There's somebody better who can say it. So that's where basically Durango and Oaxaca. Oaxaca?
Right. Oaxaca is the easiest way for it. Like, yeah. Oaxaca.
Well, they do 99% of the mezcal, and all the other ones do 1%. So that's interesting. Cool. So a lot of these are going to be from that Oaxaca region. I was also told to get Espadons or whatever.
Espadine is the most common maguey, which is the word for agave. Used.
Now I know what you meant because I didn't understand it when he said it.
I know, I got a mouthful of shit. I'm sorry.
Ah, yeah? You like being chock full of shit?
You said it. Yeah, of course. So we have 3 Hovens. We have a Cenizo.
John.
So Hoven just means young. Actually, I think all but the Pechuga are technically in the Hoven designation.
Nope, that says Pechuga Hoven too.
Oh, it does say Hoven too. Yeah. Hoven just means 5 young.
Hovens. Okay.
Yeah. You have a Hoven, a Kramer, and a Bergam.
No, not our, you know, our governors.
Thanks,
whatever.
Dick.
Oh, my bad.
We're going.
My bad.
So which one? Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we take a quick advertising break and we'll figure out what order we're going to do these in. And
We already know the order.
Oh, we're going to do that.
But we're going to do that. Ricardo Monte Albán first.
Yeah, we should start with that guy.
Oh,
Fantasy man. Island.
Fuck yeah. Doing it. Oh, yes. You're going to see stars after this one.
All right. Now we'll do shot glasses with this one then.
Yeah, okay. Give me that tattoo.
Oh, shit.
This. So I, you know, when you first were talking about garbage mezcals and stuff, I still remember the first time I saw this bottle. I was at a house party one time and there was barely anything left, like even the worm was partially out of the
dry.
Yeah.
And so I just remember my buddy like poured it and ate it and I was like, how was it? He goes, kind of dusty. And that's the only thing I remember.
That's the only way to have a worm.
Yeah,
that's the only way to
dusty worms. Worm.
Dusty worms, that's dusty the best worm. Way the best way.
That's a pro wrestler.
what's his finishing dusty move?
Just or a porn star, either one.
All right, so Monte Albán has a long history of making mezcal, and the Reposado is a signature mezcal made under the Monte Albán brand. It's one of the most widespread mezcals in the U.S. is carried by many distributors and liquor stores, and for better or worse, is what many people associate with the word mezcal. Monte Albán has been making mezcal and selling in the U.S. for a long time. They are well established in the market, and many have had the experience of tasting the mezcal worm and their signature Reposado. Now, I remember this on our tequila episode, that having a worm in it just means that the damn plant is infested and it's not going to taste good.
And it's really not a worm.
Yeah, it's a grub.
A larvae.
What the fuck did you just say?
I think you said it's not really a worm.
It's not a worm?
No.
No.
I've been lied to my entire life.
By probably several people.
Yeah, I'm lying to you right now. So you're doing a great job.
The Mom. Good authentic thing.
Moms.
You're man, actually the eating the worm. Them. They have those as a snack. They salt them and season them and dry them, and they're considered a nice snack to have alongside mezcal in Mexico.
Or not.
That was me.
It's like, ugh. Okay, so I'm confused, though. Is it a worm or is it not a worm?
Well, it looks similar to a mule
it
worm.
It looks like a worm, but it is a...
It's a grub.
It's a grub or larvae.
Oh, it's a grub. Oh, yeah. Oh, we're splitting hairs here.
Like
okay,
a tree grub.
Whatever. It's hey. Still not something you're supposed to eat. I'm sorry you don't have any hair, but, you know.
Jesus, even this reviewer said that it was the first I ever tasted back in the 70s. So this shit is old as fuck.
Yep.
All right. On the nose, guys. Liquid smoke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not even like the real smoke.
Maybe
gasoline.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Should fuel a scooter.
Or a little kerosene-y.
Yeah.
It's less intrusive than I thought it would be, though. I thought it was going to be like just real, real, real shitty. I mean, it's...
It's still shitty, but not real, real shitty. I don't know. Tastes like something I would put in my old two-stroke engine for fuel. And by that, I mean two pumps. Oh, no.
It's my nickname in college.
An old two pumps.
It's like two chains with two pumps.
I don't need much time to myself.
Jesus. It's definitely got a motel room ashtray thing going
yeah.
on.
It's not impressive, really. Ugh. I mean, just a smell. I haven't even tasted it yet. Ugh. Have we all tasted it? I thought we were still smelling it.
Yeah, you can taste it now. Oh. Yeah, it's very like not even ethanol because that would be too that would be sweeter.
All right, that was very.
Can somebody cover it back up? It was actually sneak out. It's like venom or something, right?
It actually was a little bit more watered down than I expected. I expected it to be harsh right off the bat, but it was like watery with a little gas at the end.
Yeah, it's still 40%. I need some of this to clear my palate.
Maybe if you have a little bit of this bomb margarita, booming hard seltzer by the Brewing Project might make that nasty taste go away.
Yep, so that's our side beer for the day. I thought, you know, mezcals and the tequila family, why not get kind of something in the margarita family that's drinkable as a beer, is a low ABV to kind of counteract the high ABV that we're sipping on today. What do you guys think about this?
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The Brewing Project thing is way, way, way better than that mezcal we're drinking so far.
Yeah.
being a man named Dick, I wasn't excited about drinking a seltzer, but this is actually delicious, and I'm a huge fan of this.
Yeah, Brewing Project doesn't really have any... very many misses at all in their stuff.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very limey and I don't know. It's sweet and sour. And I don't know. I personally get some coconut from it too, somehow.
Everybody was getting different flavors. The lime kind of overdid it for me. And you were saying, Evan, that you had some different flavors.
There's a spice element to it. And I think that's kind of from like an agave syrup that they're probably using to get some agave flavor.
And you had cobbler, right?
Well, I see. I taste some peach cobbler. Peach cobbler. And cinnamon cobbler, but with the coconut. With like sprinkles of coconut on top.
Weird. It's weird. It's weird in a great way.
It's quite delicious. I'm actually
surprised by it.
I don't know if I think of it as a seltzer though, because it's not. The main thing I think of with the seltzers is effervescence,
right?
And this is pretty low carb. It's more like a pre-mixed cocktail, which
kind
of
yeah.
I'm cool with that idea. I'm kind of cool. Like there's a lot of fun prepackaged cocktails now. So I just don't know if I'd think of it as a seltzer, but it's tasty.
Mm-hmm. I think they put seltzer on it for the marketing because people are buying seltzers.
Yeah. So seltzer just means how it's made. It doesn't have any grain in it whatsoever. That's what
a seltzer means? Yeah. Oh, I thought that was like something else, like a seltzer water with alcohol in it. But
yes, but that's how they get the enzymes to create the alcohol with the sugar in there.
I am now smarter.
Prove it.
That should probably happen a lot for you.
It's not hard to get smarter when you're me.
All right, back to this Ricardo Monte Albán. The plane!
No thanks.
All right.
I think we could be done with it.
Yeah. Do you want to... I rate it 0 to 5. I'm going to rate this one a 0.5.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just...
I don't know if I've ever had...
Everclear with, like that one guy said, Everclear with cigarette butts and gasoline or kerosene.
I feel I've never had any of these other ones that are in front of me, and I'm feeling like these are going to be like way better. But I feel this is kind of like everybody's like, this is probably the Engelbert Humperdinck of mezcals because most people probably haven't had a really good one.
I'd say this isn't even middle of the road, though.
I haven't had enough to to hat, you know, so I'm going to give it a 175.
Okay.
That's way too much.
What do you give it to, Chris?
I'll do a one.
How about you, Dick?
Well, if this is my baseline, it's the first one I've tasted tonight. But as far as, yeah, but I'm going to go with 0.5.
Mr. Christie, sir.
Yeah, it's bad. It's honestly, it's not as bad as I remember from right. when I tried it the first time. So I'm going to give it a little credit and give it a 1.25.
It has got that worm in it that's, you know.
Attractive.
Yeah. Just a marketing ploy and it works. It gets it sold, but it's just a terrible introduction for everybody else that has ever tasted it. Oh, mezcals are fucking disgusting.
They should do a version that's just worms. Call it Oops, All Worms.
Yeah, dude.
So basically,
one drop of liquid at the very at the bottom. Yeah.
So basically, buy it on sale and give it to guests.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a perfect gift.
There you go.
For people you don't care about.
Housewarming gift.
I've kind of, I think, did Dee know? Did she do this on purpose?
Probably.
I think she was. So the average for the Ricardo Monte Bland.
Bland?
Is 1 out of 5.
Good start.
That's probably got to be real close to the worst score we've ever given anything.
I wouldn't doubt it. No, we had one that was a 0.5 and it was a beer.
Was that one that.
It was even worse than that maple, salted caramel one that we had. It was even worse than that one. Okay, this next one is the pink label. This one is the U-Ball Mezcal. Comes from the Isaias Martinez Juan Mezcalero, which is the maker.
Okay. Mezcalero is the maker, yep.
And the maguey, that's the type of agave plant, right?
That's a good pot. Mm-hmm.
That's the Espadin?
Yep.
And it's a 48% ABV in the town of San Juan del Rio. 100% Mexican company, a social enterprise that highlights the traditions of the native Oaxacan producers of mezcal.
Christopher?
It's going to be a fun theme all day.
Christopher Oaxacan?
That of which...
I just Oaxacan.
Crazy.
After me.
Crazy. The process of production is artisanal, impregnating in each of its products the mystical, the exotic, and the absolutely delightful taste that makes this majestuous drink. Grupo U-Ball is made of the producers in San Juan del Rio, San Luis del Rio, Tlaculaula, and
some consonants and vowels.
The quality of the maguey begins in the earth and looking after it as well. This means that the complete cycle of production is the planting, cutting, and distillation are done manually, all with absolute respect for our environment.
The Maguawis? The quality of
it's Maguay.
Isn't that the little animal in the gremlins?
Yep, Maguay. Yeah. Good job. Tussle out there.
But these ones you should drink after midnight.
Yeah.
That's fine.
When you're walking.
So this particular bottle says that it is said that night after night, the gods and goddesses of the earth, the winds, the oceans, and the skies met in the house of the moon.
Bullshit.
To renew their
the
love.
The house of the rising sun. Everybody knows that.
Give it as a gift to the beings on earth in the form of mezcal. So this is batch YJ01-18, bottle 3597 out of 7920.
If we're going to go with this whole god thing, then drinking this should cure up my herpes.
Sure.
I don't want to test this batch of herpes out.
You could edit that out.
We can't edit out your herpes.
We can't, right? That's not how you get rid of them.
For life.
You don't understand science.
Science.
All right, what do you guys get in the nose in this one? So we reverted from shot glasses for the Ricardo.
That's probably why it tasted like crap.
To the, that's why. To the Glencairn glasses as we have now.
Yeah, the glass shape of glass.
Like,
so the smoke is more real.
Yeah, obviously. Like a bonfire with really good wood.
Ah,
not
who doesn't
fake
like good
wood? Pallets and stuff.
I got something to say about good wood.
Tell us.
I've got great wood.
Oh, is that all?
That's it.
So profound.
I just got a lot of
concise
wood.
Yet meaningful.
Right. You don't have to. If it's true, you don't have to say much.
I get roasted pecans, like a roasted nut kind of.
Hmm.
I think you're nutty.
I was going to say there is some nuttiness to it, but I don't know about pecan. I get
cashew.
I get nut shells.
Gesundheit.
I didn't know you guys were such nut connoisseurs. That's...
Oh, yeah, dude. I love all sorts of nuts.
I carry a couple with them with me all the time.
Do you? Nice.
I usually eat nuts before I go to bed.
I just bust them.
You don't want them to get in your sheets. It'll mess everything
right,
up.
Right, right. Yeah. It's the last thing I do before I jump into bed.
There you go.
Eat nuts.
There's something green on here, too. Yeah. I want to say like aloe, like that kind of green but soft, not like green and vegetal.
Yeah, not like green peppers, but like, yeah. It's sweeter than I expected. Pistachio-esque. What do you get in the flavors, guys?
Well, it tastes like smoky tequila. I'll have to get farther into it.
You'll have to revisit it?
Yeah, revisit. Circle back.
Lime zest.
Wow, it takes about 4 seconds for it to kind of coat your whole mouth, and then it just kind of, you can just feel it going down the back of your tongue and into your throat.
Okay, I read somewhere more than once that the way to taste.
You remember it the first time?
No, and I've seen it in multiple sites and doing
my
the
retention is garbage.
Yeah. That you need to do mezcal tasting in threes. The first one is to coat your mouth and get that rid of that burn of the alcohol. The second one, you get more into the fruitiness and the sweetness of it. And the third one, you get into more of the meaty flavors and the smoke.
I don't know about that so far.
I'm at 5 and my lips are on fire.
The smoke's pretty intense on this one. Good smoke, but you're like really good bonfire.
Okay, we're going to rate these for like straight drinking, right? Now, we can mix it with, because you don't mix this shit with anything, right?
Oh, you can make,
Make cocktails with mezcal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just so everybody out there listening knows, I am a rum man. I am not a huge aficionado of the mezcal and tequila. So this is a novice opinion coming in here. This is no prejudgment. So if you've never had tequilas or mezcal, whatever, my opinion fucking matters.
There you go. Makes sense.
Roast corn.
Yeah, so there's something meaty in there, isn't there? There's got to be something meaty in there, but I can't place it. It's just...
It kind of burns a little bit more. Like you said, the three sips, it's like the more I sip, the more I just get that kind of that burning.
That's where I was at.
Maybe I should go to a doctor. That burning goes away. Maybe get a shot. Nope. Oh, wait, I'm having a shot.
No. Nope. I'll just have them edited out.
Call back.
All right. This is my last sip, and then we're going to rate this one. It's not bad. It's almost like a pink flower floral aftertaste. I don't know why I said pink. It just reminds me of any pink flower I've ever smelled.
Yeah, what does pink taste like? Never mind. I would like to know.
Yeah, I'm not averse to trying.
There's a little mineral hint to it as well, I feel like.
Sort of where'd Shelby coming in?
Like a magnesium-y, zinc-y kind of.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you? I'll start this one off. The Mezcal Yubal Hoven Espadin. 1859, and it's 48% ABV. I'm going to rate this one, since this is the first one, I'll give it a 2.5 out of 5, because I am unsure how the rest of these are going to taste.
It was markedly better than the first one.
Oh, without question. Without question.
But we'll see how the rest of the day goes, but I don't pick up a whole bunch of stuff out of them.
Yeah, you really have to be sipping on tequila for a long fucking time to really...
Mezcal.
Mezcal or tequila.
You know, I think one thing to think with tasting this is, unlike whiskey, where most of the notes are really familiar, they're wood extract notes, you know, sugars, fruits, that kind of stuff. With mezcal, you're talking notes that come straight from the maguey. So they're
all kind
of all over the board. Think about, you know, fruits, think about spices, minerals, lots of different stuff, and like let your mind bounce ideas. And I think it gets easier as you do more.
I mean, what I like about it, I'm going back to it again, but the smell, I like the smokiness of it because I am a peat whiskey drinker. I like I like good peaty Islay scotches. It reminds me of that.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see how you could like that, Chris. I'm going to give this a 2.25. It's right at that average, I think. Chris?
You know, shit. Fuck.
Mm. Shit. Fuck.
It's hard.
Yes, you can swear. It's
I was going to ask if you could swear on this podcast or not.
Absolutely. You know, it's a drinking podcast, not for kids.
Oh.
Or something like that.
Gotcha.
I don't
remember. Sounded
bad the first time.
I'm going to give this a 2.75. I want to say 3, though.
So this is out of 5, Eric, so 2.5 would be what you would think is average.
Yeah, no, just, I'm
that's how
I'm
math
at,
works.
I'm what? Thank you. I'm at like a 1.26
quarter increments.
2.5.
Okay, well then we'll go with a 1.47.
No, 1.5.
I maybe have more experience with mezcal, so I might have a different perspective. This one to me is a very basic, good. I'd call this a perfect mixing mezcal because the smoke is super strong. Price point's a little bit lower on it, but I think it does its job well. I'm going to go with a 3.5.
Yes. So the average for the U-Balls Yovan is 2.5.
Nice. Not too shabby.
Right. Perfectly average.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's great to be middle of the road.
Well, it's cool that the person with zero experience and no abilities at all, and then the expert balanced each other out to bring it right back to the middle.
Exactly. Yes. I have no opinions whatsoever. Mine doesn't matter.
But I'm in the same boat. Yeah. I this is my first time around with mezcals as well.
So this one was approximately $39.99 over at Bridgeview Liquors.
Approximately? Seemed pretty much exact.
Yeah. You're looking at a receipt.
Yes.
Oh, way to round up there to $39.99.
He's not sure how numbers or words work, so we just let him talk and push
I'm going to estimate that the average is exactly 2.50.
Yeah, give or take.
So, Evan, you said this is a good mixing mezcal.
Yeah.
So what kind of cocktails would you make with it, mezcal?
So, subbing it in for tequila works great. If you make a margarita with mezcal, it's just nice and smoky. Actually, great as a margarita, but you muddle jalapeno slices and do mezcal, then you get spicy and smoky. One of my favorite mezcal drinks is the Oaxacan Old Fashioned, and this uses a little añejo tequila and splits base it with mezcal. So I think it calls for about 1.5 ounces of añejo, 1/2 ounce of mezcal, a couple dashes of orange or chocolate bitters work great in it, and then either agave syrup or simple syrup to sweeten. So that old fashioned variation is lovely. That's one that right off the top of my head is great.
It's fucking amazing.
I have orange bitters at home.
And I have some up there.
And I've got some chocolate and other fucking bitter stuff. Now I need to steal.
Your fucking bar at your house is pretty badass.
Yeah, I do what I can.
I like it.
I get drunk a lot. And the pool table's open now. So we got a big old pool table. We got like a 9-foot, I think it is. It's like a 1926 pool table.
Oh, wow.
Big and long and huge. You know what I'm talking about?
Wow, like the billiard style big one?
What's that? What are we doing?
Like a billiard style large one?
Yeah, yeah.
So, one of these days we have to do a remote podcast at your place.
We got a little particle board top that we put over it so we can play ping pong.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on to this next mezcal before we take a break. This is the Koch L Mezcal Artisanal Oaxaca Maguey Espadon.
I feel like none of those words are correct coming out of your fucking mouth.
I don't speak right there. French.
It's on the label there.
I got you, Koch.
So this is imported by Mezcal Koch USA, Manhasset, New York. So this is...
You got the New York part right.
So Pedro Hernandez is the maestro. It's made in Oaxaca in the town of San Baltazar, Guadalajara. The Maguey is an Espadon, and this is a 7 to 9 year maturation process at a 1,582 meter altitude.
When people listen to this podcast, is there going to be subtitles explaining what you just said?
No.
Yes.
Subtitles is a visual thing.
Shit.
This is an audio.
So we're doing audio subtitles as well. Yeah. So. Perfect. It's me just in the background overdubbing like, yep, that's a Spanish word.
Nice. So this is made in an underground conical oven. Agave juice and bagasse is the must, and it's... Grinding was done by a horse-drawn grinder. This is fucking old school shit. Dude. And this is a spontaneous and open-air cypress wooden vats fermentation. and used spring water. All right, so at their website.
With all that said.
MezcalKotch.com. So we have always known Mezcal, and before that, we lived it from the closest family environment since we are children. It is inherent in our region, comes in our worldview. Mezcal heals, heals the soul. It also accompanies you and your sorrows, and if you want, it helps you forget them. When a child is born, Mezcal is taken. We drink Mezcal to be sentimental, to exploit creativity and feelings, so that we are less concerned about mockery. It is not about suffering, but about getting emotional. Enjoy. When you're walking, it does not matter if you know how it is made or not, that they give you Mezcal. They give it to you, and that you drink it. You drink it. We conceive Mezcal as a living entity from which its preparation to its consumption is constantly evolving in flavor, aroma, and texture, which allows us to evoke the terroir elusive to the region, agave, and the hands involved in its creation.
I feel like
this is way too happy.
Something happened like in a translation when they wrote this.
Yeah. I mean, that I don't think that's written by the Mezcalero. I think that's written by the New York importers advertising firm, because that's like pure New York ad copy.
I just know I want Knox to narrate all my books on tape from now on.
All right.
This is fruitier than the last one.
It's definitely sweeter.
Yeah.
Less alcohol-y.
A lot less smoke.
But it's sweeter, but I don't know what kind of sweet.
On the nose, the first thing that hits me is like salted grapefruit.
Huh. I do get it's less smoke than the U-Ball, but it's still you get like sweeter smoke, I guess is.
Yeah,
there's some smokiness. I like the more intense smoke from the other one.
It's definitely less smoky. There's more of a citrusy feel. I get lots of grapefruit and lemon notes.
Yeah,
almost a tart berry thing too. Like a really underripe blackberry.
I think it would go very well if you were going to mix it, you know, like the other ones we were talking about, different mixes, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think prune juice, you know.
Okay,
I mean, prune juice and a little bit of lime. I mean, I think they call it a diarrhea. That'd be
diarrhea. That's pretty good. It has a smokier flavor.
I agree.
Yeah, it does down. Aroma. There's a spiciness to it, at least for my tongue. But yeah, there is the light fruity and floral notes in there, but I'm surprised at how much more smoke I get off the flavor than I do the nose.
Mm-hmm.
I like this. This one, to me, it's the smoke is there. I smell the smoke, but I got a little bit of the botanical, but I don't have that gasoline burn for a novice point of view.
Yep.
That burn, it's not hurting. What is the proof on this one? Is this one less of what is
47?
47.
So it's 1% less, but it's still more than 80, you know, 47 80 proof.
Proof?
Percent.
No, percent. Oh, percent. Okay. I was like, wow, that's
94. That's 94.
But, okay.
94 proof.
Mm. Right. 94. So yeah, no, I like this one. I could sit and drink this one. This was.
And you are.
Look at that.
Probably a couple times.
Weird. Yeah. Yeah.
This is really good. The Bomb Margarita Hard Seltzer is pretty good after this one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get a lot more like lighter fruit notes. I mean, lighter like the colors, like more tropical, like kind of like a white grape kind of between that, a white grape and like pineapple coconut, weirdly kind of mixed together for the
fruit. Are you drinking the beer?
No, I'm drinking the...
Okay. Because it sounds like you're talking about the beer.
Oh, no.
I don't get the coconut, but it's definitely lighter fruits, maybe the citrus to me, and maybe some like passion fruit, like a yellow fleshed fruit. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't eat enough fruit to know what they taste like, but.
I heard they're good, though. People have been raving about this fruit stuff.
Oh, you know, hey, no, I'm all about diversity. That's cool. But I haven't tried it yet.
And this smoke is actually damn near the same as a good Scotch smoke. It's not too much, and it's enough where you get that smoke, but not like, you know, Octomore kind of peat. But I like the smoke on this one. It's a little bit more prominent, but it's more real. I can actually taste the wood on it, maybe.
A little oaky something.
Yeah, something.
Woody, yeah. No.
All right, who wants to start this?
What just happened?
I'm going to crack another one. I'm like, no, we got break. You got to do break and drink water.
Hold on to your pantaloons, sir.
I'll start the rating here. I know, okay. I've gone last, and so I'll start it off with this one. I like it. It's a bit lighter. It doesn't have the full complexity I'm looking for with a really great sipper, but I think great for mixing, really fun, lighter. I'm going to give this a 3.75.
And the Coach L was $44.99, so a little bit more expensive than the U-Ball.
I'm out.
I'm going to give this one, actually, I kind of like this one. I'll give this one a 3. I appreciate it.
I'm giving it a 4.
I'll do a 3.
Oh, I was on I'm a good 350, 375. So I'm going to say 375.
You like this one way more than the last one.
Right? Way better. I mean, hands down. I would order this, yeah? And just to sit and sip. I would. And that's being a Captain Morgan guy.
Converting people to mezcal. All mm-hmm. right. That's
yeah. It seems like this one was taken care of a little bit better, almost in the process of making it.
Yeah.
So what we got bigger.
So the average for Koch L Mezcal Artisan is 3.50.
Say the other words.
Waka.
Waka, waka, waka.
I actually know that one.
Nailed it.
All right. We'll be right back after our word from Bridgeview Liquors and Fargo Underground. Brews, Booze, and Reviews is sponsored in part by Bridgeview Liquors. Head over to bridgeviewliquors.com. Or head over to their Facebook at facebook.com/Bridgeview Liquor. When you go to their Facebook page, you can hover over the events tab and see what they have coming up for classes, which are now starting again from July 10th. So after that, every Saturdays in the afternoon, they have specialty classes, and you can sign up for their email list and find out what they're having at certain times. Classes are only $25 a piece too. So please check out their Facebook, or they even have an Eventbrite that has all these events on it. And one of the things that I love about Bridgeview, besides helping us out and sponsoring us, is their wines, because they have different kinds of wines. Some that are family-owned, some that are locally made, and some that are the old-style wines that you just don't really see around here much. So head on over to Bridgeview Liquors for all your alcohol needs at 935 37th Avenue South in Moorhead. They can be reached at 218-477-6162. And when you go there and you shop there Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9:55 p.m., don't go past that. Or if Sunday, 11 a.m. to 5:55 p.m., again, don't go past 5:55 p.m., you can shop there. And when you are checking out, just say that you heard this podcast, the Brews, Booze, and Reviews, and you instantly get 10% off all your purchases. Yes, all purchases. Just 10% off just for mentioning us at checkout. Thank you, Bridgeview Liquors, and thank you to our listeners for helping us out.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris with Brews, Booze, and Reviews, and I want to give a shout-out to our sponsors at FargoUnderground.com. If you're like me and love good music, don't listen to me play. Instead, head to FargoUnderground.com and check out the Events tab. When you click on the Events tab, an Events Categories, a window will pop up, so you can choose live music, nightlife, comedy, trivia, where's a movie. Or, if you like karaoke, you can check that out too. Fargo Underground is dedicated to bringing you the best of what Fargo has to offer, be it from art and food, or again, music or comedy. Check out FargoUnderground.com. Drink and fucking talk about drinking.
All right. Well, let's drink and talk about some drinking. And next up on our list, welcome back from our ad break. This is a Mezcal Burrito Fiestero.
Is it okay now, Chris?
And that's the
now
whitest okay. way.
Go ahead.
Oh, got a nice. Whoop, whoop, pop.
Nice.
And that's the whitest way you can say that whole thing. Okay. So this is pop from mezcalburrito.com. So each bottle contains a whole agave plant, it looks like.
Excuse me, what?
So founded in the northern state of Durango, the Mexican Wild West, Mezcal Burrito Fiestero is created with passion, focusing on delivering the purest flavors of northern Mexico by using traditional artisanal methods in small batch productions. Our mezcal was born in the hands of Don Juan Conde in an ancient abandoned hacienda in the heart of the agave land. Inspired by a burrito fiestero, an authentic promoter of the Mexican culture and the joy of life.
Burrito.
I was going to say, finally we have one with words I recognize. I've owned a Durango and I've eaten burritos.
Don't get a whole lot of smoke off of this one.
So burrito fiestero artisanal cenizo is a well-rounded mezcal with a smooth texture, creamy mouthfeel, and a taste of blah, blah. Because you don't like to... Oh, so this is only 42%. So this is going to be kind of like the Bush Light.
Mezcal Light.
Yep, of the mezcals we've had today.
Burrito Light.
Yeah, it's low ABV, huh? 42?
Still higher than most.
See, I still get, yeah, a little bit of smoke, but...
But not a lot, but there's other...
There's more going
more
on
of that
this fucker.
Citrusy floral note, like the Koch.
Mm-hmm.
Koch Ale.
This smells sweeter. It's not as much smoke as before, but it smells sweeter. I'm digging the smell on this one.
It's like, maybe it's just my brain, but when I smell smoke, I'm immediately taken to Scotch again. But I feel like you can get like salt and like some more of those like ocean.
Yeah. It's kind of a seashell oceany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought maybe that was just my brain tricking me going, oh, it's when like, you smell this, you should probably get this as well.
Smells more like tequila.
Yeah, I almost get a little lime, a bit citrusy.
There's
in the
a
background.
Sour hint on
That's what it is, the sour stuff, yeah.
I really coast the glass.
This smell is really great. Oh, by the way, all these mezcals that we tried today, except for the Mercado, Montal Albán, is pure white or clear as water. There's nothing to it. Just clear as water. They're all blancos. Hmm.
Yeah, this one's much more light fruits.
Way gentler. Strawberry.
Yeah. I like watching every time we say a word and Dick Wrinkle tries to figure out what that fucking word means.
Strawberry. Like the fruit?
I know what a fucking strawberry is. I just don't see it. I was like, so I go back for another drink and go, oh, I missed that one. So yeah. I try it again.
But the faces you're making, this should be on video. Because I get the fuck out of here. There's no way.
I just don't. I mean, these are subtle. This is super, super subtle. I mean, this is, it's not harsh. It's not burning. It doesn't have the I'm just always going to refer to the gasoline as my staple, but it's got a very light gasoline aspect to it. But the flavors and everything are super subtle. It's a very middle of the road for me. I mean, I could sip on this one all day long.
It's clean.
I just don't know that I care to.
It's clean. I think this is really tasty. Just subtle notes and that hint of smoke and,
Evan, I know we talked about this before we started recording, but like when we do like scotches and bourbons, sometimes, you know, we have these little water droppers, you know, to add a little water after we sample it without water. Mm-hmm. Now, is mezcal, was that something that you would typically want to throw an ice cube or add a little water to it?
Usually not. Most mezcal tasting I've done or seen just takes it at the proof. Usually the proof they're putting it out at as is the proof they're intending.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I like this one. This is nice.
Yeah, this is... I'm trying to decide if I like it more than the last one.
It's on the lighter side, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I feel like they're going for a more approachable style with this one.
It's much more floral than the ones we've had so far, too. I mean, I almost get like a cherry blossom on this.
I'm getting kind of like a cardamom thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Cardamom. Only if they're under 21.
It's a spice that we had down here and we tried, and it tastes like eating like flour soap.
Yeah, it's like a floral Indian spice.
No. Before I come on this podcast again, I'm going to go out and I'm just going to eat a whole bunch of fucking flowers because I have no idea what these things taste like that you're describing.
What do you taste? Do you not get any hints of like anything?
There's a little there's a little smoke there, and there's a little bit of spice to it. But it's smooth. This one's very smooth, and there's some flavor to it. But I'm just not good at describing the flavors as to which, I don't know, cardamom or passion fruit, or maybe it's durian, which I hear is delicious. I don't know. But
it tastes delicious. It doesn't smell very delicious.
It does. That's what I've heard. Yeah. That's what it's I've like heard. I've watched a food channel, and yeah, they don't like that. But no, this I like this one. I could drink this one all day, but I wouldn't be drawn to it because there's nothing about it that actually goes, ooh, I got to have that. But if it was in front of me, I wouldn't shy away. Because
yeah, it's nothing really jumps out of the bottle on this one.
That's my point. Yeah.
And I've seen this one posted up in for mentions and other Mezcal Facebook groups.
Like, this is really easy to drink, though. Like, it's real easy to drink.
I almost call it a starter Mezcal.
Yeah.
It's a good way to get into some of these more complex flavors without smacking you in the face.
Right. And sometimes I'm looking for a good smack in the face.
Right. It's S&M light, though.
Yeah, S&M light. Tie me up, but not tight.
It apologizes after it smacks you.
I'm going to tie you up, but I'm going to use a feather. What was that?
Speaking of light, S&M light.
Fuck. Let the man be dead.
All right. You know what? I'll start this one off. I like this one just as much as that Cauchy Ale we just had. So I'm going to give this one a 3.0. Like you said, it's a good starter one. I have higher hopes for the next two Mezcals out there. Nothing's really has really jumped out at me and said, fuck, I got to get more of this. Rawr!
I almost did.
Yeah, you almost did.
3.75 for me.
I'm going to go right at, yeah, it's tasty. I mean, I can't knock it for not being way overly complex, I guess. 3. I think it's good.
I am going drinkability. I mean, it doesn't draw me to it, but the fact that I have no problem with it, whatever, I've got to be damn near middle of the road, but I'm going to go 2.75.
Yeah, I don't like this one as much as the last two, just for the flavor complexity. I think it's nice. I'm going to give it a 3.
All right. So the average for the burrito is 3.1.
That's a pretty okay burrito.
That's
yeah. Get it on the value menu.
All right. This next one is the only other one that's got a twist top and not a cork. And this is the Bonhez Mezcal Artisanal Ensemble. Oh.
Who wants the neck pour?
So you go to bonhezmezcal.com/ensemble, comprised of 90% Espadin and 10% Barrel agaves. Bonhez Ensemble is perfect for first time Mezcal tasters and wonderful for cocktail innovation. So this one is also 42% ABV. So we're going down a little bit in the ABVs, but everything that we have is going to be over that 80 proof 40%.
Well, this looks a little bit more like water than the other ones.
Yeah.
It is. But it does coat the glass very well. It's got some.
It's got some legs. Does it know how to use them?
I think there's less body.
Mm-hmm. That's way more rich fruit up front.
Mixed in with a little bit of smoke there. Not super present, like the U-ball. The second one we had, or the first one after that, whatever the hell that one was that we decided to do, Monta Blonde.
It's like
Montalban Ricardo.
If pineapples had sweaty feet.
So this one, Bonhaz means bliss, I guess. Little trivia portion for you guys.
And that's looks like a full liter bottle.
That is a liter. Yep. It's a great value option.
Value always means quality.
for my wallet, it does.
Yeah, lots of mango, papaya, those rich tropical fruits to me.
Yeah, this is the most fruity smelling one that I've gotten aromas from so far today.
I would say
it's pineapple-y though. A lot of I actually get real pineapple on the nose a little bit behind that smoke and the agave or maguey.
Maguey.
No, that's the That's the gremlin.
They're delicious.
Have you had fried mogwai? Oh.
Just don't put it in any water.
Roast it and then
butter it.
Sear it.
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, the smokiness is a little different.
Definitely more smoke on the taste than that you can smell.
Yeah. And I keep going back to there's spice or something. Like,
yeah. There's more spice on this one, I feel like, than any of the others so far.
This doesn't have as bad of a burn as some of them have. Alcohol burn.
Really?
It's as some people would say, it's kind of smooth. Hmm. At the end, kind of the side of my tongue, maybe a little bit tingly, but
yeah, there's some spice in this. It seems like it's very, I would say,
but seems like spice is from actual spice, not spiciness because alcohol burn.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, no, it's like warm spices, warm brown spices, that cinnamon, allspice.
Mm. Okay,
but this seems like it's thicker. Across the, you know, for the mouthfeel on this one. I mean, you said it was thinner.
It is thinner, but I was going to say, because at first when you said that you didn't have the burn, I was like, no, I'm getting that burn on my lips and everything. But then when you said it was more of a spice burn, I think you're right. I think it's more, I'm getting more of a spice burn than an alcohol burn. I'm not, yeah, but there's been a lot of smooth ones, but this one I do get a burn on my lips, but I don't think it's not the gasoline burn. It's more of a...
It's a tingly tingles.
Yeah, something, but...
Like an STD.
It's just like that.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Pretty much spot on.
Goes with those herpes.
<That's>, pairs well with syphilis.
Yep.
But then again, what doesn't?
All right. Get one of these good... That was awesome.
Funny as ever.
All right.
That's a big ass plant. Yeah.
So,
or leaves, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, we're looking at a picture right now of the agave plant, and they're actually pretty fucking big. I mean, this is the heart of it is almost as high as this guy's waist.
Yeah. You can't see it, but picture a massive pineapple. Like, that's probably about almost a yard tall.
It's like a pineapple from Jumanji. Yeah. in Jumanji is where they make mezcal.
Here are some smaller hearts down there. Mm-hmm. And then this is where they kind of go to smoke a little bit and they get a little heated down here, the heating pads.
Yeah, listeners, you should see this.
See these pictures. Yeah, they're great. Yeah.
So beautiful.
And they do this all by hand. Like we were talking about the knife harvested. For the cutting they use. It's like, ugh.
All right. Any other flavor notes on this? Bonjes Mezcal Artisanal. Although I will say I'm getting kind of a fucking buzz, and it's a really light buzz in the back of my brain from drinking this stuff.
Just this not one, like, though, not the other five we've had.
This is the one that hits.
No, I mean,
the other ones are for pussies.
Just the whole category of mezcals. The buzz is a little bit different.
Right.
It's light. It's a light buzz.
Mr. Wrinkles, you wanted to start this one out?
On what?
Put numbers on it.
Oh, a number on this one? Yeah. I'm going to go a 2.6. Oh, wait, no. 2.75. It was middle of the road for me.
I actually like this one a lot. I like how fruity it is. I like how spicy it is. I think there's a lot of flavor intensity without a lot of alcohol heat, which is a nice mix. I'm actually going to go 4 on this one.
I'm actually going to follow suit, go with a 3.75. This would be my highest rated one so far today. I thought the fruitiness and the floral notes were really good in this one without that burn. And that smokiness had a layer of depth to it that some of the other ones didn't before. What about you, Bigger?
4.
4? Wow. Fuck, I got a buzz.
Chris.
I might be a little drunk.
Is it like the first time we ever do these episodes that you're actually getting drunk during an episode?
3.75.
3.75?
Yeah.
Your favorite one so far?
Correct.
I'm odd man out on this one. Yeah, that's fine.
That's all personal preference, man.
Yeah. All right, yeah, so the average for Banzai?
Yeah, that's it.
Banzai? This is Banzai? What the fuck are we?
Ohio
is this a sake episode?
Is 3.65. Good enough for first place so far.
Really? Wow.
Oh, that's a pretty label.
I know. See, I've been looking at this label, and this is the one that I've wanted to try the most because looking at that label, I'm super curious, which I'm pretty sure makes me try curious.
Sorry. All right, so this next one, you brought us a special gift there, Evan. This is a Pechuga.
Correct.
So let me give this rundown real quick of what this site says about Pechuga, and then could you please, or do you want to like tell us what it is exactly? And
yeah, let me respond. I can just jump in. That's fine. So Pechuga are mezcals that they're kind of like a flavored mezcal, but not in the way you think of like a flavored vodka where you're adding one really obvious flavor to it.
It's almost like a gin in how it's processed. Yeah,
it involves adding flavoring agents in the distillation process. So in the still.
In the vaporization, right?
Yep. In the still, when the alcohol is turning into vapor so that can be boiled off from the water, it's passing through a sac that has certain elements suspended in it. And classically, one of them is raw meat. So
specifically breast, chicken breast.
Yes, chicken breast is common. This one uses turkey breast. Also, I've had one that had an entire goat hung turkey in breast. The still.
It's the other white mezcal.
Yeah, and the point of that is not so much to give it the flavor of that meat, because raw meat doesn't have a ton of flavor until you cook it. It's actually the proteins and the fats in that meat and the vapor passing through them. It's going to change it chemically, especially the texture, the feel of it. And then they also often add other elements in that same sack. So spices, fruits, nuts, various things that are going to impart just a little bit of flavor in that distillation process.
Huh. That's a lot in a sack.
That's crazy. You should see how much I got in mine.
That's a hell of a sack.
That's a Santa sack. I feel like it gets fuller the older I get.
This explains why I'm so curious to try.
Yeah, and so they also, this website says to go off yours also as well. While Pechuga is traditionally distilled with a suspended chicken as its protein, some enterprising mezcaleros are now building on the past by experimenting with less common ingredients as a means of marketing to foreigners. Although venison and iguana meat, Pechugas are stuck south of the border. Pierre de Almas has experimented with the Pechuga distilled from rabbit, while de Maguey collaborated with famed Spanish chef Jose Andre on an expression that involves Iberico ham. So it's just all about the...
You're fucking killing it today.
I'm fucking terrible at Spanish. I'm a fucking bad Spanish speaker. So yeah, this one was turkey. One was chicken. Probably won't be able to tell a difference. But it gives a lot of fruits and spices that infuse because of the proteins.
This is definitely 100% more noseable than the rest of them.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I like the actual plant itself comes through and smoke doesn't.
Well, things just like jump out at you.
At first, I got like grapefruit and then like juniper, almost like a gin.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I you got that,
and
sweet
I don't get a whole lot
of
smoke.
Rotting corpse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
who doesn't like a rotting corpse?
But I'm just kidding. But no, it does. I totally agree with you. The smells, the nose on this one is
the best so far out of the bunch.
Absolutely,
by a long shot.
The big thing for me is blood orange that jumps out.
Yeah,
big rich citrus.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Almost with some rosemary and basil in the background too. Kind of almost Thanksgiving-esque with the spices. I can't even say that right. Thanksgiving-esque.
Well, then you shouldn't
say
that at all.
You're just thinking of the turkey.
Maybe.
Am I going to want to take a nap after this one?
I get dried fruit too, like raisin and fig.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of just fruit and some earthiness to it, but
I don't know what I'm tasting or smelling, but it's I like it. I like it a lot. I don't know if a lot of this talking about the meat is like put our mind to a lot of this stuff or not, but I just know that the combination works. I like this a lot.
Now, did you taste it too? Holy fuck buckets.
I did. Yeah.
So yeah, along with that juniper, I get like, you know, those candied orange slices your grandpa used to have at his house. You like sneak some every once in a while or have one or two of them, those candied ones with the stuff on the outside. I get a little bit of that in the nose.
I just wrote down orange peels as you were just starting to say that. And wow, this got a lot going on.
It's almost like pickling spices. Like when you get the pickling spice mix, it's got a lot of those qualities.
I think we've covered the board to where whatever it is, we've just it's there. Whether we are wrong or not.
It's just so much sweeter than the other ones, too.
It's got some heat at the end, though.
The ABV, I think, is higher on this one.
48%.
48, so yeah, higher than the last all of them. Three.
Oh, yeah, the first one, well, the second one, I guess, technically. Yep. And then this last one has been 48.
This is fucking exceptional.
Yep. Yeah, I like this one. Fucking meat. Huh?
Right.
So they hang this sack of whatever the fuck it is, and we have a picture of what that looks like.
Well, I don't taste any meat.
So it kind of looks like this when it's done hanging. So it's like you're almost smoking the meat in a smoker, but it's very dark when it's done and comes out.
Wait, I fell asleep when you were describing the process.
Yeah, welcome to our world.
Did they smoke the meat and the smoke that comes off
raw.
The meat?
No.
Does
no,
it?
No.
And it's
raw meat.
It's just in there, and it passes through, and it's just cooks there it. Yeah. And yep. During the process.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's weird.
It's
but
a drive,
but it works.
It's drive by turkey and
right, yeah. Right.
It's like they dropped them from helicopters. The turkeys.
What is this, WKRP in Cincinnati?
And they fell next to the plants.
Bigger it's and finally old, got one right.
Yeah, quite the old reference, WKRP.
In Cincinnati.
I will say also price makes a bit of a difference. Most of the, other than the Monte Alban, the other ones we tried were all in a pretty similar price range. They're pretty much in that $40 to $50 yep. range, which is a great range for approachable mezcal, which is pretty much kind of what we were tasting on all of mm-hmm. those. It's when you get into that like $50 to $120, $130 range that you get a lot more of the complex flavors.
Yeah, this is a fucking banger.
Yeah. So what are we saying? So segueing into that from that, what's the price of this one?
55, you said?
I think it's 55 or 60. That's in that
that's
range.
That's not even bad. That's not even bad. It's not this. No.
No, it's just like $15 more, and you get like a triple the quality on it, I think.
Yeah.
That's not a bad price point either.
No, hands down.
If we end this fast enough, we might move on to a bottle that he brought that's a bit more expensive. We can try that if you want.
Well, should we number this, sons of bitches?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll start it out. Mm-hmm. Hands down, my favorite of the day. Hands down. Not even close. 4.25. 4.5. 4.255. 4.525.
What's wrong with you? Did you have a seizure?
I'm just trying.
It's Tourette's.
I'm just trying to see how much. I was going to see how much Ernie was writing down.
Are you stroking out?
What did you think I went with?
4.50.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Dick?
4.000.
Should I put a line above the zero?
It's a repeating.
Repeating zero.
Yeah, it's a repeating zero.
Not right. Satan.
I'm going to give this a 4.25. Yeah, great complexity. Lots going on.
Yeah, this is incredible.
Neighbor?
Yeah, I'm going to give this one actually a 4.5, actually.
I think
good expression, good flavors. Yeah. I like it.
I'm going to give it a 4.25. So the average for U-Ball's Pechuga?
Yep.
Ah, damn it, I said it right. I didn't
you got it.
To, is 4.3, which is good enough for first place.
Woo! Something distilled with fucking raw meat right. Won the day. Well, we have some time. You guys want to get into this one?
Do we want to drink more? Is that what you're asking?
Yep.
Typically.
What do you got going on, Chris? Dick, you got a minute?
I just two.
Okay.
2 minutes.
All right. This
to midnight.
One is Cruz de Fuego Mezcal Artisanal Joven.
Great, Chris.
100% agave marmorata. God, I hate this.
Tepejite is, okay. I believe, the pronunciation of the maguey. So I'll just add in the cool thing about this one. This is a more expensive kind of premium bottle, but part of the reason is the age of the agave. Most of the ones we're trying were Espadine, which takes 7 to 9 years to mature. Blue Weber for tequila takes only about 6 years to mature. The big plants. The wild Tepejite plant takes 25 years to mature.
Wow. So they got this plant just growing for 25 years before they can even use it for this.
Exactly, yeah.
That's crazy.
Well,
that's
you got any, like your bourbon or whatever that's aged for 20 years, scotch. in a barrel for 20, 25 years.
Yeah, it just puts that aging on the other end of the production process. It's all nature doing the aging of the raw materials.
All right, Cruz de Fuego. What does that one say?
Tepejete.
It's made with wild agave tepejete. This mezcal is traditionally produced using an underground stone horno. Horno? You make me a horno, baby. Tohono and copper stills.
Do I?
Okay, Cruz de Fuego Mezcal is operated by the mother-son duo Margarita Blas and Carlos Mendez Blas. They both live and work in Santiago, Matatlan, Oaxaca, and use a distillery that has copper stills. They both work out of the same palenque and follow similar traditional techniques in their mezcal production.
So this is a mother-son combo duo, a little family operation making this one is what this is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Dude, what the this...
The label on it is like
textured label.
It's fabric. Yeah. Weird.
Is it
moms
felt?
Do
is
it right.
Is it felt?
It is now.
It is.
Hey, moms do it right.
They only did 180 bottles of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Holy fuck.
Per batch. I'm sure they release a batch a year or every so often. But yeah, it's a small batch product.
Really?
Yeah.
So this is a that. Super small.
Rub your hands
batch.
On it.
Yeah. Slower. Slower.
Now faster. Don't do that, though.
You're right. Okay. That's just inappropriate.
Have you felt it?
We finished it.
You brought it, so I was assuming you felt it.
No, I wore gloves the entire time.
Oh, okay.
We finished
it. That's a good thing now. Don't pick it up again without gloves.
I thought it was kind of sticky. Or it is now after I touched it.
This there's much more smoke presence in this.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But also that,
a lot of citrus.
Yeah.
Like grapefruity, super orange, tangerine, nectarine kind of thing.
But no burn. Super smooth.
Also, a little bit of tropical, bright tropical, like kiwi.
Yeah. Okay.
God, that's fucking crazy.
What is this juice? This is great.
Nectar of the gods.
Tangerine, vanilla, even. Like there's kind of a...
Tangerines are whores. They are.
Oh.
That was quick, too. You had that ready to go right there.
I wasn't aware. Please elaborate.
No, there's no elaboration.
You'd have to listen to episode something.
Damn it.
To get that reference.
This was super citrusy. And I do get that agave kind of flavor. The maguey, if you will.
Really? Wow, it's okay. You can come out. That's fine.
This is one of those where you got to sip it a couple times and you get something different each time. The first time I got a little bit of that burn, some smoke. The second time, less burn. Still get some of that smoke. A little bit of orange pith maybe and some sort of other fruit.
Pith is right. You nailed that one.
There's also almost a resiny quality to it.
Yeah. Yep.
Earthy, resinous.
Almost like an IPA.
Yeah. It's not unlike a hop or...
Like a resin.
Yeah. Or cannabis.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly cannabis.
I wouldn't
so they, or so they say.
Hmm.
I almost taste that copper still in it. It's got that kind of minerally aftertaste on the very back end. But it's enjoyable.
Yeah. This is... Well, thanks for bringing this one, too. This is...
Much sweeter. Happy to share it. It's fun to get to share this kind of stuff.
I think this is the sweetest... One of the bunch, you think? Burrito more?
It's sweet. The burrito is like nothing.
I think we should try them all again.
one more time around. I forgot what I was going to fucking say.
Sorry.
Yeah. I got lost in the
most of us stopped paying attention anyways.
Yeah, you're out of here.
Fuck boy.
Next. I certainly am.
I like this one. You get I get that smoke and a kind of a vastness of other flavors. But other than the orange, and there's something else there. Like
it's I mean, you talked about readiness, maybe. I don't know. There's
well,
a lot
you
going
said
on.
The copper still maybe is coming minerality. Through on that.
Yeah.
And
well, I was just thinking minerals, but yeah, when you said bread and stuff, it's kind of
it's kind of a fresh baked bread. That yeast kind of aroma comes through. Yeah,
I really enjoy this one. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna give this one a 4.5 out of 5.
Put this in my mouth.
Every time.
I will give it a 4.5 as well. I think I like this one the best so far.
I like it just as much for different reasons as the other one. I don't think I can go up a point or a quarter point. So 4.5 again. This is good shit. It's good shit.
You know, I don't have the sophisticated palate as y'all.
Prove it.
But I just know what I like, and I know what's enjoyable to drink, you mm-hmm. know, for me, and I'm only speaking for me. And this one is right there. I don't know that I like it more than the last one, because the last one was hands down my favorite. But I think from somebody just drinking something, a novice getting out there and drinking something, this was right there with, I'm going to say a 4.25, but shut up. But
4.25. No.
The meanderings of a maniac.
Right. Welcome to my madness.
All right. His review is done.
That might be a new one.
I also really like the complexity.
4.25? Yes. Dick?
4.25. I'm going to go 4.5. I really like the complexity and depth on this one.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that score is not going to be too hard to figure out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be probably...
Figured it.
So the average for Cruz de Fuego is 4.45, which is good enough for the best of the day.
But imagine.
How much was this one there, buddy?
This is about $130 a bottle.
Ding, 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 ding.
It's worth every penny you paid.
But how much better was it than the... Mezcal U-Ball Pachuga.
It's a different thing, though. Like,
and what was our highest rated non-Pachuga?
So quantifying things to a dollar is just weird sometimes.
The Banzai.
Bonhez
was 3.65.
And then that one was approximately
$39.99. 40 bucks.
Well, we also do this for the consumer as well, so they can figure out and how much things cost, so they can maybe experiment without feeling so bad about spending $40 or $130 on something, you know?
Word, y'all.
It's amazing that the manager of a liquor store, a fine establishment like Bridgeview, brought the two best mezcals of the day.
Yeah. It's like weird. So we're looking at this brandy right here, the Butchertown, and that was his.
Yeah, when I got that, it was like... store choice. And I'm like, I'll get that one.
That was manager's choice.
Yeah.
So let's run out the day. We got the winners. And I got to say that fucking Ricardo Montalban was just like,
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
It was just terrible.
Well, winter's coming up. We might need to put something in our gas tanks to keep from freezing. I don't know if that'll work.
So it's kind of going to be along with our, we have some, how do we say, funny themed alcohols to try for people who come to the studio. We have some.
It's really not that funny, though.
As far as the bottles go, the Montalban, the Monte Alban, it's got the most decorative and unique bottle. It looks the best on the shelf behind your home bar. Just don't ever open it.
Right. Yeah. This is a showpiece. You just show
exactly,
it
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's like Crystal Skull vodka. It says just put it up there. Don't open it.
The skull is fucking cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Dan Aykroyd's a piece of shit.
You can pop it open and pour some bingo dauber in there, and black light makes it really cool. But anyway, other than that, don't drink it.
Yeah, I've seen that before, too. Just empty out a highlighter into it.
Yeah, just don't drink it.
But hey, no, it's not too bad. Dan Aykroyd is not such a piece of shit. What he is a UFO enthusiast, or a UAP enthusiast, and that makes him seem crazy and batshit crazy. That's just my opinion.
Yep, and he's behind Crystal Skull vodka, but yuck.
Yuck pants.
Fucking yuck pants.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Thank you for...
I didn't just fucking talk shit for no reason. Just
like, well, so we're so used to that, though, so when you're not...
It's like, I like mezcals. Yeah, well, Macaulay Culkin's a fucking skinny fuck. You know?
Just random facts.
Just not throwing stuff out there just because it's there.
Yeah. Random facts by Chris.
Nice.
All right. Well, hey, Evan, we know how to get a hold of you at Bridgeview Liquors. It's on all of our websites, all of our social medias, and all of our posts every Tuesday.
Get your ass to Bridgeview Liquors, mention the podcast, and save 10% off of all purchases.
10%?
10% off
all purchases. I know, it's fucking wacky.
Wow. Just remember that, just like they had.
Did anybody take anything out of this episode, Mezcal? Because this was like my first...
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I learned a lot today. Them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just the different villages. I mean, there's got to be a whole shit ton of villages that just do their own kind of mezcals, and versus tequilas are only allowed in certain regions. So anybody that's able to grow some agave plants and then process it and make this type of distilled spirit, in my eyes, is good. You know, the smokiness of it, the lower end ones were kind of like bad, but the higher end ones did make me like think of the scotches and how well that they're made with the smokiness to it. I really appreciated that. And I think the more that the makers pay attention to how the process is made, the more of the aromas and other elements other than plant and smoke come out in these craft spirits. And I've actually grown to appreciate mezcal today. So
yeah, it's like some of the higher tier ones, as you would say, like the smoke was incorporated in with the other flavors, where like the cheaper one, like they added the liquid smoke after the fact just to give it some smoky flavor. And it's like, this is kind of not really great.
Well, aside from the roll of toilet paper from the bathroom, I'm taking away today a, you know, without all the complexities or whatever, being somebody that's only drank the Jose Silver and the Jose, you know, and the whatever, the generic, the things that are always out there, I would never be afraid of sitting down with a bottle of mezcal or this again and just sipping on it. I think it's
well, you're welcome fantastic. To take that one right there.
that mezcal, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, save the worm for a special occasion.
I got nothing. I got nothing. No, I don't want it.
So, Mr. Dick Wrinkle, tell us about yourself. What do you got? Social medias? Do you got a website? When you're going to be gigging out next? When you're going to do your next game show?
Well, as I said earlier, I am everybody's favorite 1970s game show host. I mean, I pretty much washed up a long time ago, and now I just kind of do the bar scene doing, you know, sex trivia and sex-themed game shows. I shouldn't say sex. They're adult, but, you know, hey, whatever. They're sex. I've got guest hosts that are sexy as hell. They help me out. I go around the Fargo and the Tri-State region, and that's what I do. You can find me on Facebook. Big shout out to I've got relatives somewhere out there in the Krakova area of Moldova, by the way.
Nice.
What?
Where my family actually used to work in the vineyards out there around Krakova. And just everybody, I would like to say
cheers to Moldova.
Noroc.
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 There we go. Thank you very much, Dick Wrinkle.
So check him out. What are your social medias? Just Dick Wrinkle on Facebook.
Like me on Facebook, Twitter, and Pornhub. Thank you.
Chris, you got anything to promote?
I can also be found on Pornhub. Like, I don't have a page, but it's where
you
I
know,
go.
You know, browsing the categories? Yeah. Yeah.
In his bookmarks.
In the background a lot of times.
I'm in the background.
I love the cams. I really want to see what they're doing. It's like, waist down guy.
Yeah. I do all the action shots. I got really nice ankles.
I'm the stand-in for the porn when he doesn't
check out my
it.
OnlyFans. It's just ankles and jelly.
Now the porn's gone.
It's crazy out there. Check out Squiggly Giglio on TikTok. And yeah, that's it.
How about you, Bigger? And where can people find you at?
Here every Sunday. Otherwise, cross street.
All right.
Holy shit, you don't even have it pulled up.
I know I feel that one. Hold
much
on,
like
I'm pulling
my pants.
Up right now.
Yeah.
Like your pants.
Pulled up.
Well, I got to say, we want to thank our sponsors for supporting our show. We want to thank Bridgeview Liquors and Fargo Underground. And we want to thank you listeners, without whom this podcast couldn't happen.
And
to you we say,
may your glasses
be full
and
your spirits high.
Cheers.
Cheers. You fucker. We gotta talk about the. Do you want to talk about the tempo? We gotta talk about the tempo.
I feel like the okay. It's like paper, rock, scissors. You don't just go, "Hey, let's play," and then somebody goes. Right.
All right. Let's say it one more time.
So here's the
okay?
pace. May your glass be full and your spirits high. Cheers. We're adults here. We can read fast.
All right. We can do it on the count of three. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
May your glasses be full and your spirits high. Cheers.
We suck.
Zavashi Zadarovai.
What are you?
Nordic.
Conjuring spells?
It's Moldovan.
It's Moldovan. It says, here's to your health.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Here's to your liver.
This has been a Predicate Productions episode of Brews, Booze, and Reviews. For more information, head over to brewsboozeandreviews.com. Special thanks to our sponsors for supporting our podcast. You too can support our show by supporting them. We have merch for sale that you can purchase from our Shops tab on Facebook. We also have extra content that you can access by going to patreon.com/brewsboozeandreviews.